Welcome to the talk, Exploiting Interfaces of SVES Protected Virtual Machines. This work was already presented at the Roots conference and was co-authored with Matthias Morbitzer. The work was done at the Fraunhofer Institute for Applied and Integrated Security. The focus of this talk is a recently available feature called AMD SVES, which provides some protections for a virtual machine against a malicious hypervisor. However, the virtual machine may still run a general purpose operating system, for example, one based on Linux, which has previously considered the hypervisor as trusted. This can potentially lead to security issues because the virtual machine communicates with virtual devices, which are controlled by the hypervisor, and also the virtual machine requires emulation of few special instructions done by KVM. In this talk, I'm going to show three different attacks for SVES virtual machines and also how their fixes are done in the Linux kernel. So let's just quickly go through how the virtual machine is protected. So first, there is memory encryption for the virtual machine. So this includes the virtual machine's firmware, bootloader, the kernel, and user space applications. However, because the virtual machine communicates with the outside world, for example, the DMA region is not encrypted. The virtual machine selects which memory is encrypted or not by setting a special bit, the C bit, in its private guest page table. Additionally, with SVES encrypted state, additionally, the architectural state for the virtual machine is encrypted. This includes architectural registers and other state information. And also SVES is now supported in Linux 5.10 officially. Because the registers for the virtual machine are encrypted, the emulation of instructions becomes more complicated. For example, when the virtual machine executes CPU ID, this will raise a special exception, a VC exception, shown in one, which would invoke the virtual machine's VC handler. The VC handler can then write the necessary information in the GHCB page, which is unencrypted and shared with the hypervisor, and then request emulation from KVM. KVM can read the information from the GHCB page, emulate the instruction, write the new information to the GHCB page, and resume the guest. And then the VC handler can read the new registers from the GHCB page, validate them, and update the architectural state and execute IRET. However, because emulation happens in KVM, the emulation of this instruction should not be trusted. The threat model, I'm assuming I know of these attacks, is that the attacker controls the host before the virtual machine is launched, and the virtual machine uses SVES for protection. Additionally, the virtual machine initial state is measured and attested, and also the attacker has access to the virtual machine's kernel image for static analysis. The first attack is based on the fact that the hypervisor may be able to manipulate the sources of entropy for the virtual machine. The Linux kernel inside the virtual machine relies on these sources of randomness to generate random values for different probabilistic defenses, for example, kernel address space layout randomization, and also for stack canaries. Here in this talk, I'm just going to focus on KSLR. This is a feature which randomizes different regions for the Linux kernel, and it happens during boot. The sources of randomness include the rdrand and rdtsc instructions, also the kernel build string, and also the boot parameters structure, mostly initialized by information from QEMU. The function which determines the random values is called ksrgetRandomLong, and here's how it looks like. Initially, the function generates initial random state using the getBootSeed function, which returns a hash of the build string and the build parameter and the boot parameters. However, because the attacker has access to the busy image, the string, the build string is known to the hypervisor. Additionally, also the state of the boot param structure is known. Afterwards, this code checks whether the rdrand instruction is supported, and if that's the case, it samples a random value. However, because this future is checked using the CPU ID instruction, the hypervisor can say that this future is not supported, so this code here would be eliminated. Afterwards, the virtual machine checks whether the RDTSC instruction is available, then samples the timestamp count and mixes this into the random value. However, the hypervisor is always able to control the return value of the RDTSC instruction because the virtual machine may need to be moved to another CPU where the timestamp count is different. So it's necessary to be able to modify it. One way to do that is by marking the RDTSC instruction as an emulated instruction, and this would allow to specify any value. However, with SVES, this would cause a special exception, which would invoke the VC handler, and it can be easily detected. The second option, which is much sneakier, is to use a special model specific register called TSC ratio and also the field TSC offset in the virtual machine control block structure. The RDTSC instruction would use these values in the following way. So the ratio MSR would be used as a scale, and then the TSC offset would be used as an offset. So if the hypervisor sets both to zero, then RDTSC would just return zero. I implemented a proof of concept exploit for an SVES virtual machine where I tried to manipulate the KSLR regions and also the Linux entropy pool. So first of all, we can't actually set the RDTSC instruction to return zero for the entirety of the time because that instruction may be used for various different things in the kernel, and you will get a hang if you do so. So here in my exploit, I rely on page tracking in order to figure out the moment of time, the period of time for which the KSLR regions are being randomized. And for all of these places, I can specify RDTSC return value of zero. And then afterwards, I can set the ratio to 1.0. With that, I was able to manipulate the KSLR offsets and set the entropy between boots to zero. And also, I was able to manipulate the early state of the Linux entropy pool, which means that the first sequence, for example, of kernel stack canaries was always the same between boots. So how the fix for this looks like? This was already added to the Linux kernel. Here, this code checks whether the RDRunt is supported, and that's not the case. The virtual machine will simply not boot. So this essentially makes the RDRunt instruction mandatory for SVES virtual machines. The second attack is based on the forging of fake MMIO regions. So the virtual machine's kernel uses memory mapped I/O to program the attached devices. With SVES, MMIO is more complicated because the registers of the virtual machine are encrypted, and for that, SVES introduces this MMIO MPF sequence. For example, when the kernel writes a value to an MMIO address, this address would have to be translated first from a virtual address to a guest physical address using the guest page table. Afterwards, it would be translated using the nested page table. And in this place, the virtual machine requires assistance from the hypervisor to mark the page as reserved. The hypervisor can mark the page as reserved by setting a special bit in the nested page table entry between the 52nd and the 63rd bit. The access will cause a VC exception, which will be handled by the VC handler inside the virtual machine. The VC handler can check what caused the exception, find out what's the MMIO address and value, and write them to the GHCB page, and then execute VMG exit to request KVM to emulate the MMIO access. What I found in the early series of SVES patches was that the